Charlie's fine. Carman's okay. Close.
First of all, thank you, Austin and Nikki, for getting the memo about wearing maroon.
What did I miss?
We all matched. Well, Regine had that one on earlier.
Yes, she did. I got one at home.
All right, so just a few things. The Rennie dinner was a huge success. It brought in a little over $58,000 to use for the student recognition program. We did have one person spend $10,000 on two fire pits at Bishop's, and she did this because she was a graduate of Bear River years ago and said her experience at Bear River was life-changing for her. So I love these kinds of stories that people come back and give, and thank you to Bishop's for adding two additional fire pits to the one that they had already donated. So what a great thing for our kids. Rennie rallies. So Wheatland L had theirs on yesterday. Yesterday, it was another highly attended event with lots of laps and lots of fun. The kids are definitely having fun because they are making some noise, but obviously Wheatland L needs a new sound system because it just doesn't seem to work when it needs to. Lone Tree was today, and it was held outside, which was nice with this weather. Many students got recognized, but one stood out to me because he had been recognized for reading 2 million words already this year.
Wow.
That's pretty incredible, since he was like a third grader or something, so. Fourth grade, okay. And then Bear River's tomorrow, 6th through 8th is at 8:30, and 4th and 5th is at 1 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
Summer camp registration starts in April on the 24th and goes through May 1st. We're hoping that we can fill up our summer school so that kids have a place to go for a few weeks in the month of June. Next year's after-school program registration, again, is on May 22nd at 4 p.m. Write that down, because like I said before, it'll be closed by 4:02. Educators That Make a Difference is on April 23rd. We have one veteran teacher, one new teacher, and one classified staff member that will be recognized. And we will have a table there for, Amy, how many tables do we get?
Two.
So we should have two tables there for the board and spouses that want to come, et cetera. Also on April 16th, we have a board meeting, but there's also a fundraiser at Bishop's called Fresh to Farm or something like that, Farm to Fresh. And it's for the county, and maybe Amy can talk about it for a second if she doesn't mind me putting her on the spot. So what we were thinking is we'll try to make a short agenda for the 16th so that we could, if those who want to go could be done and get over there by 6.
Yeah, this is something that has been near and dear to our heart. Superintendent Greger asked us a couple years ago to try to start a foundation, and we finally have it in place after a lot of work. But we are kicking off our big fundraiser at Bishop's Pumpkin Farm. We're fortunate to have Wayne Bishop on our board, and so he's been instrumental in helping us get this off the ground. But it's a Farm to Feast fundraiser, so we will have a lot of students from our community throughout the county who will be providing side dishes. So they'll be preparing them, and we will be eating them buffet or family style there at your table. We have our incarcerated youth who have been working really hard on making charcuterie boards. So those will be there, and the charcuterie boards will be there at your table when you arrive. So it's just been a really sweet experience to work with the students in our community. We have Shelly, who is helping with a lot of the floral arrangements for the tables. So it's been neat to bring in all of the talents that we have throughout our county. So hopefully you'll be able to join us after your board meeting.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we do have some upcoming project that will start as soon as school gets out at Lone Tree. We have to update and fix the alarm, fire alarm system there. So there will be some time during that period where they're working that we'll have to close off the front parking lot because they're either going to bore under it or have to cut it up and repatch it. So we're hoping they can bore under it because it's cheaper. But that's to get everything fixed and the wiring and whatnot. So, and let's see, we're going to have a new math adoption for 26-27. It's been a long time coming. The state has not been jolly on the spot about getting math as a priority, so it will be an expense, but we have the money in the lottery funds to cover that. So. And let's see, I'll move on to attendance report. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,355 students, which is 13 less than this time last year, but and four less than last month. We have 76 students currently enrolled in the preschool program, which is 21 less than last year and two more than last month. So we have a total of 1,431 with all groups, and that is 34 less than we had this time last year and two less than last month. And that's what I have for the report.
Thank you. Yuba County Office of Ed Superintendent, search update. Superintendent Gruber.
Doing double duty. Just we're going to go into closed session tonight. We're just going to kind of get to where we are. We've already had three events where we got to meet with your administrators, your teachers, your unions, and then our at Bear River. At Bear River, we did have a good turnout. It was a great opportunity just to hear from the community, and then those that work there also were able to speak up. And we're looking forward to kind of telling you how many people have applied, but we have a good number so far, and we expect even a few more in the next day here. It does close tomorrow, and then we will have three more meetings. We still have one at Lone Tree coming up, Wheatland Elm, and then we have one more here. And then after that, we'll be done with all of the meetings, and then you'll have your data, and the information will go from there. Any questions?
Thank you.
I got a sleeping baby. Asked if there was an interview window, and we will set that tonight. And then the board also will set who's on that and do it all that. So those will all be decided in closed session.
Good question.
Thank you. Okay, communication from the public on items not on the agenda.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. See you guys. I look good and fresh, and the sun is, out and about, and everybody's feeling it. I think it's acting like but anyways, I just want to thank Ms. Jacqueline for supporting the school transition session that we had for the parents at the CDC. They were really nervous about their kids going to school. They said first time for some of them. For some of them, it wasn't. It was really easy for them. But she made them comfortable. They felt good. So, Ms. Jacqueline, thank you for doing that. I know she has a busy day all the time, and she looks at me when I ask her, like, but she always comes through, and I appreciate that. They all had good feedback, just to let you know. So thank you for that. And I also wanted to thank Tara for helping us with the school liaison program, multidisciplinary inspection. I feel like we're at the same thing.
You're fine.
But thank you, Tara, for doing an awesome job with us on that. I also wanted to thank Lone Tree and the Bear River team for you guys coming out to the Military Interstate Children's Compact Commission training. Sometimes it can be a little dry, but but they came out and supported, and I appreciate that. We had 14 school administrators that were there, so we do appreciate that. Thank you, too, sir. Appreciate you being there as well, Superintendent Greger. And so I hope you guys had a good time and got to eat and all that good stuff.
We actually used that handbook the very next day to address immunizations for our family
coming
up.
What? Yep. Hey. See? You thought so for that. It's awesome. But thank you very much for that. Also, we have
a military family life counselor. You guys have heard me probably talk about the counselors before that come and help with the children. And whether they're at the CDC or the youth center or anywhere else on base, as long as they are military affiliate or military students, they will be able to use the services. She's leaving, our child and youth one is leaving, and but we're getting a new one pretty soon, so they're doing interviews, and so we shouldn't have a lapse in support with that. So also, 123 Magic Parenting Class is on Wednesday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, so we're going to have a really good time. It's from 9 to 11, and it'll be at the community center this time in our theater room. It's really cool because there's like 14 theater seats, and the parents relax and have a really good time. And also the Day for Kids event, and I've mentioned it before, it'll be Friday the 24th of April, and that'll be from 4 to 6. And I know that, Ms. Jacqueline, you'll have a table. I know. It's all right. You support everything, but they're having a strategy. Yeah.
Like tracking supersedes table.
Yep. You got it. And that's true. I totally. Yeah. True. But it'll turn out really awesome. And so there's all sorts of really cool things going on. We also have Playzium that's going to do a session just for the kids there with messy play, something like that. So it should be really cool. Farm animals. The theme for this year is agriculture. It's farm. It's the farm, ag theme. So we got it all over the place. So the high school will be there as well. So one more thing. STEM to Space is back again. I know it got canceled last time, but it is back, and I'll send you guys out the flyers tomorrow. And we have been trying to get more volunteers. So what happens is that military volunteers will help and support the classrooms. And did your volunteers come to your class? Or okay, some will come to the class, or they can do it, you know, virtually. So, but that's cool if they come to the class. So that's really cool. So that'll be coming up too. And the sessions are from the 4th to the 22nd of May. So that's when they do all the cool things, and the schools kind of work it out what their schedule is and who's going to participate and all that. So it's really cool learning more about STEM and all that other good stuff. So, especially with the air show coming up next year. So, one last thing is that there is a Are Your Kids Really Safe Online? It's a webinar that Shaw Air Force Base is kicking off, but they've invited our families if they want to take part in it. It'll be Tuesday, the 17th of March, and I do have a flyer, and I'll send you guys flyers too. If you want one tonight, I have one too. But it'll be via Zoom, and it'll be from 6 to 7:30 on the 17th of March, next Tuesday. So, any questions about anything?
Lots of happenings.
Lots of happenings. We got a lot going on. But thank you guys, though, for your time and your patience, and appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, apologies for the noise in the back.
No worries.
You're fine.
We're about kids, so it's okay.
My name is Maddie Munson. My son, Jack, is in TK at Wheeland Elementary School. And my purpose of coming to speak to the board today is regarding the after-school program, which, you know, we just found out that Jack got into it, and we're very excited for him to join. But I wanted to kind of open up a conversation with the board about the capacity of that program and discuss how maybe it could be expanded to serve more families in Wheatland, and how the application process for that program could be modified or improved to provide parents with a little more certainty from year to year. So to provide a little bit of kind of context and background for this conversation, this request, you know, my husband and I are both full-time working parents that rely on after-school care for our kids. We this year have used private after-school care, which has been great, but we've been really impressed by what we've heard about the elementary school after-school program and have been interested in that. So we were excited when we found out that Jack got off the wait list and was offered a spot there. However, it's nerve-wracking as a working parent that relies on that after-school care because there's no guarantee that he will keep his spot next year. We understand that the process starts over each year and you're kind of into the hopper of, you know, will you, won't you get it? We've now given up his spot in the private after-school program that also has a waiting list, but there's, you know, no certainty or no guarantee for working parents that really rely on that that that's will be available again next year. So anyways, I've been learning about the different funding mechanisms and funding streams and how the program's structured at Wheatland, so I would just like to kind of open up this conversation with the board about what's possible, how could we think differently or more creative about the after-school program to better serve the families in the community, particularly the working families, because this is a common thing I've heard from other parents and moms in the district who would like to have access to that program but need a little bit more certainty or a little bit more access as it currently stands. So
let me just comment a little bit on that. The capacity is based on the fact that we get a limited amount of funding, and then the capacity is because we can't find employees to man the rooms when we have more kids than we currently have. The other thing is that because it's a state-funded program, it's not district-funded, it's state-funded, it comes with very specific guidelines on who gets in first, who gets in second, who gets in third. And unfortunately, the working parent that makes decent money is down the line compared to foster, low income, and it's been a frustration of myself and the board in that we have double parent workings and they can't get in. We have other parents that are sitting at home and their kids in the after school program. But unfortunately, it's a state mandate on how we do it. And I could have you be in contact with Tara, who is our after school director. I don't know if you've been in contact with her. Yeah, and she's got all the rules and regulations, and she would love to expand too, but A, we can't find the staff. We're constantly looking for staff.
Okay.
And secondly, she has to go by the guidelines of who gets in first, second. So you could actually be number one on the waiting list, and then somebody moves into here, and then they get a higher priority because of whatever their status is, and now you bump down to number two, even though you were there first come, first served. So it is a difficult program to get parents that really need it into if they don't meet any of these other criteria.
Yeah, and Tara has been really helpful in providing me some information about that and doing my own research, and I'm happy to be corrected here if I'm misunderstanding the requirements, but it seems that there are some requirements with the state funding of, in general, what percentage of the population is supposed to have access to that, or like what percentage of seats compared to the student enrollment is supposed to be available, and it seems that that's not being met right now, by my limited understanding. So I was, hoping to open up this conversation of what are the bottlenecks, why that's not the case. It seems like maybe staff is an issue, and how can the district and the board think creatively to remedy some of those problems and, you know, maybe come into compliance if the district's not in compliance, or just be more helpful in general. Does that mean offering paid slots if you don't meet one of those priority criteria or something along those lines?
Yeah,
I don't have an answer. I'm just hoping.
We used to have paid slots, and now it's pretty much all free for everybody. But there is a criteria, and we are only slotted so many spots per school site. And it's, to my knowledge, we use all of those spots that we can, unless the school doesn't have enough kids to fill up all the spots. Like, we have a certain number of spots for the charter, but they don't use them all. The issue is not funding, because we have plenty of funding in ACES and ELOP, which is after school. The real bottleneck for us is staff. People do not want to come and work for 4 hours from 2 to 6. And we get college kids, and then they get different classes the next semester, and they quit, and then they do this. And so we have a very difficult time finding anybody. We've had the lead opening at Bear River for 6 months now, and we can't fill it. And so that's what our issue is. If we were maybe in a place that had more employment availability, but right now we're doing all we can, even with our paras that work during the day, they do after school as well just to get it staffed.
Yeah.
So that's our biggest bottleneck. So that is something that we continue to, we constantly have an open positions on the Ed Join, and we just don't get the applicants.
Well, I appreciate the information, and you know, I hope maybe the board will continue to think about it and prioritize it.
Yep.
Thank you.
So moved.
And second?
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda passes. On to action items. 5.1, adoption of the 25-26 second interim report of decisions and community certifications.
Okay, so I will turn this one over to Anna, our CBO. She has a PowerPoint. And for the board members, you also have a printout of one as well.
Second interim budget. I'm not sure if this is too loud.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good?
Yep.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, board. For allowing me to present to you the second interim budget report. This is the 25-26 second interim budget update. As you remember, last December is when you approved the first interim budget, and I let you know that we would be coming back with adjustments, and hopefully we weren't going to have too many adjustments. But as the year goes on and the end of the year, June 30th, gets closer, then we get closer to getting to estimated actual. So right now, this is what we're going to cover today on this budget. Always keeping kids in mind whenever we think about the budget, think about professional development, think about the teachers, and think about what will affect kids. This is the annual budget financial cycle, and right now we are in March. Second interim budget right at the bottom. And the ones with the asterisk have already happened. You've already reviewed and approved those budgets during those dates. And then what's coming up is the adopted budget. However, should there be any major changes in the budget, I will be bringing it to you before the adopted budget. The overview on the certification. There are three types of certification that school districts and charter schools may have, and that's positive, qualified, and negative. And congratulations, the school district continues to have a positive certification. State update. In January, we had the governor's budget proposal for next year, for 26-27. But it also discusses the factors that we use now, like the COLA, the STIRS, the PERS. So right now for 25-26, we are keeping the 2.3 COLA, the STIRS at 19.10%, the PERS rate at the 26.81%, and it includes additional one-time funding, which I discussed last time at the first interim as well. The current amount in the LCFF calculator, which is the local control funding formula that's used to calculate your state revenue, your major revenue. Right now, we're waiting for those numbers because at P2, which is the period two of the attendance reporting, we'll get certified. And once that happens, then we'll have final numbers. But right now, these are projections. Just to remind you that the budget is a live document. Changes continue to happen. This activity is through January 31st, and we're in March, so as you can imagine, things have already changed. So this is a live document that continues to change, and these are projections. One of the other things that was discussed at the May revise was in reference to additional authorization, like one of the policy proposals that are happening at the state and that the districts and charter schools are having discussions on. It's in reference to introducing several audit requirements, more audit requirements to the audit guideline. Those are discussions right now, and they will affect all LEAs. The other item would be proposals that are new requirements for charter schools and school districts to address fraud and improve accountability and oversight. So those are the two propositions that are being discussed now, and we'll know more about it at the May revise. This is the main factors that the budget is based on, the second interim report. The first column is 2025-26, and the rest are the multi-years factors. And right now, this is based, the second interim is based on the enrollment of 1,300 and the funded LCFS that funds you on is 1,235 ADA, average daily attendance. The other thing that's in here that's important is the unduplicated count, and that's 59%. And that's for the current year, and then you can see the projections on the other years. This is all from the local control funding formula that we use to project your revenues. At the bottom is the same information, also other rates that we use, like lottery rates, per grade level. All of those items are at the bottom to show you what we use to calculate revenue. Unrestricted and restricted general fund. So here we have what you have on your narrative, what you have on your SACS forms, Form 01. This is your total projected unrestricted and combined revenue, and we're showing that $27 million of combined revenues have been projected at second interim. And part of that in this